We have Dean DeHaan. Yay! Yay. Yay. And Cara Delevingne.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good day.
Good morning.
And we're ready to open up the floor to questions. Yes, sir.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Luke. Hey, fan.
Thank you.
Big fan of the movie. A lot of my fans are Rihanna fans. We're wondering if we could if you could talk a bit about the decision casting Rihanna, and also the complexity of creating that the whole beautiful sequence of her, you know, changing clothes and whatnot. It's awesome.
So the first thing is in my head I say, okay, who will be the best person for the part? And my first idea was Rihanna. I don't even know if it was realistic or not, but it was just like my idea and my dream. And you never know until you ask. And I was lucky because at this period she really wants to play. She wants to, you know, try to be an actress and be in movies. So I was lucky. I just arrived at the perfect timing, and she was exceptional. It's very difficult to get her there on the set because she's going 3 times around the world per day, kind of. But when she's there, you know, the entire entourage is out of the set. She's by herself. She's very focused and very just like asking you to direct her, which for a director is just the dream. And this little 1 minute scene is 6 days of work. And a month of study all the costume and all this. It was a tough scene to prep since the beginning.
She had more outfit changes than all of us in the movie. Yeah. Together, basically.
She has more outfit than me for the last 10 years.
Yes.
Thank you.
Next question?
Sorry, everybody have seen the film?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
3D.
Okay. Just
to,
yeah. Just to check.
Luke, over
sorry.
Here. Beautiful film.
Thank you.
I know it took a long time for you to bring this to the screen, and it was kind of a passion project for you because it is something that you loved from the time you were a young boy and watching and reading the comics. So can you talk a bit about finally bringing this to the screen and it being the right time with the visual effects and the right actors in it and so forth?
You know, when you start this kind of thing, you know it's a serious thing. You cannot start Valerian and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. No, there's lots of competition. There is, you know, Marvel, DC Comics. There's lots of superheroes. So it's almost a $200 million film. And you know it's going to be tough. So, you know, I start 10 years ago, and I start very, very slowly. I start with the designers. I select 10 designers in the middle of 2000. And I make them work for 2 years in the dark. They don't even know the script. And they have a contact only with me once a week through Skype for a year. And because I want their creativity totally without frontier, I want them to come back with the weirdest thing they can find out. And then I receive more than 6,000 drawings and start my puzzle. And start to think about my two actors, because you cannot make this film with this couple. It's an unusual couple. An unusual hero is obviously not Schwarzenegger, and it's a different kind of a hero, maybe a little bit more European in a way, more fragile and more, you know, kind of different. Sometimes he's even spoiled or pretentious a little bit, but I like that. I really love that from the character. And she's the granted one. I need someone who, most of the time, it's what we have in a couple, okay? The women is in charge and we pretend we are. And I really want to have this, I want to have that, this flavor, like this little tiny story of this real couple in the totally incredible, amazing story in space. So it's very real in something where it is not. And I want the salt and the sugar in the same story, which is kind of difficult. I wrote the script for many, many, many months. It's a true story. When I see, I went to see Avatar one day. My script was almost ready, and I've seen Avatar, and I came back home and I put my script in the garbage, and I start again. Mm-hmm. You know, because Avatar just pushes all the limits, and it was just amazing, and I was not at the level. If you have to run with Usain Bolt, I don't mind to be second, but I want to be second. I don't want to be nine. So thanks to Jim Cameron, because my script is much better now than it was. And it was really a long labor of work, like every day, little by little. That's the only way you can win and have at the end something that looks like a piece of art and not just like another film, or it's made by hand, really, with a lot of love.
Hi, my question is for Cara and Dane. Can you talk a little bit about the intensity of the stunt work that you two have to do? It's sort of, at some points, it seems like a ballet that you guys have to do together with the choreography of the fights and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was a blast, you know. I think Cara definitely likes doing stunts more than I do. We would be on wires and she'd be like, let's do it again. And I would be like, okay, I think that's good. I think we got it. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. Like I took sword fighting at school, in like acting school, and I never thought I'd use that, you know. And then when I was handed two swords and, you know, I got to fight with these guys on... They were on stilts and all that. I mean, it was just a blast.
You were so modest about it, though, because you're kind of like, yeah, I've done this a few times, and you would pick up these double swords and be spinning them around, kind of like yawning at the same time. I was like, I don't want to cross you at all.
But yeah, it was. Sometimes it was like a ballet. You know, we had. There was one sequence where I was in just a room full of blue, and the camera was on a cable cam, kind of like, you know, when you're watching like a football game or something. And it was like a 30-second shot where I was just running and almost going through an obstacle course. And I had no idea really what it was going to look like in the end. I was busting over things that kind of looked like this, but bigger, and like up and down a ladder and all that. And it's exhausting, but it's also fun. And, you know, the physical challenge of this movie was something that I really enjoyed, and I really kind of, you know, I trained every day for it to make sure I was ready to do it. And yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah, no, for me, as Dane said before, I really love doing stunts. Anything that I get to learn during a movie, whether it's, you know, sword work or, you know, not using guns, but in any way where it's learning a new skill or trying it, I'm kind of the first one to be like, sure, kind of dive in head first to it. Yeah, and as Dane said, it was so important to really feel like we were two people that could potentially save the world or save the universe. Obviously, so in the physical sense, just doing everything we possibly could to kind of do the best job. And everyone who we worked with, the stunt coordinators, everyone was so incredible. I really would have done it forever. So much fun.
I'm very proud of them, because every morning they went 1 hour at the gym. And on the set, they have their little boxes, plastic box with the lunch. The two of them in spacesuit with the little box eating on the set. You were very brave. Thank you so much.
It was two hours.
Every 2 hours.
And then Luke would sit on his table eating his beautiful French baguette. Amazing bread, best cheese, and me and Dave, we sit there. I mean, because the food and filming in Paris is an incredible opportunity, sure. But also the food is so good. And when you have to only eat like a piece of fish with the vegetables, that was actually probably the biggest challenge. Saying no to the food. Yeah.
Yes, we are right now. Thank you so much for the movie. And look, I want to know what was about Cara and then that got your attention to pick them to play Valverde and Lauren. Loreline, sorry.
The thing is, I know the comics since I'm 10 years old, and there's 29 albums, so I really know Valerian and Loreline very well. So it was more, for me, kind of like I have the picture of who I want, and then to check who can fit, you know? So it was pretty easy. But I must say that both of them, when I've seen them the first time, the first hour of conversation, I knew it was them. And one thing was very important is the timbre of the voice. He has the voice of Valerian for sure, and she was Loreline, except she has to work for a couple of months on her accent because she sounds so British indeed.
You clearly be marking on your British accent as well.
But it's amazing on the phone, you can't tell. I mean, she really worked. It's a hard thing to lose an English-British accent, believe me. And she did it very well. So I knew that it was them. My only fear was to see them together. Because sometime you have one is perfect, the other one is perfect, and you put it together and it doesn't match. So I try to organize the day, because I want to be there, the first time they met, and I organize with my calendar how I can, you know, I'm a director, so I try to organize the thing. And then she called me and say, oh, I've seen Dane last night. What do you mean? Say, oh, yo, I was to a meeting and thing, and he was there. And then he called me. I was not there when they met. I was so frustrated. So I asked them, so what did he say? How he was? And I said, no, it was good. It was fine. And they don't give me anything. So I have to wait a month. I have to wait a month to finally to get them together. And honestly, it takes 10 seconds. After 10 seconds, you can tell. You can tell if it match or not. And I was like so happy. I tried not to show it too much at the time, but I was like so thrilled because I was sure about the couple. Sure.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Hi, for Cara. You were in Suicide Squad now and Valerian. Where do movies fit into your life these days with your modeling career? And do you pick your roles as a role model for young women? And in your life, do you see yourself as a role model for young women?
I mean, I've been given a tremendous opportunity. I'm very blessed to have a strong, I don't know, influence, as you say, with young girls and teenagers. That's, you know, been my goal from when I was younger, is to kind of, yeah, be a role model and to you know, young girls to be able to look up to me, because again, I'm following every single one of my dreams that I've ever had in my life through hard work and determination. You know, my message is that you can do anything that you put your mind to, you know, as long as you work hard and never give up. So for me, yeah, acting is basically what I spend most of my time doing now. We just spent, you know, 6 months doing this. Suicide Squad was again another 6 months. The occasional time that I do get off, I do like to do other work, like in terms of either modeling or charity or whatever. I can kind of also a break occasionally, which is also important. But yeah, no, acting is always been a dream and my passion, so I'm going to carry on following it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, right here, sir.
Hi, this is for Mr. Besson. One thing that sets your action movies apart from others, and something that we love about your action movies, is that all your films have really strong, capable, complex female characters. I was wondering if you could tell us if that's always been intentional and why that's important to you.
I think it's normal. The way I see it is, I think that in the 70s and 80s, the movies were totally on the men's side, and it's not fair. I pay the exact same attention, believe me, to the female part, to the male part, exactly the same. So I don't see any difference, in fact, for me. You make the difference because most of the other films, it's really Hasta la vista, baby, and then that's it. And the girl is in the back crying.
When are you coming back?
That's not my vision of the relationship between men and women, and maybe I was raised a certain way that I was lucky enough to see that they're both very strong, and so same attention for me.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, along those lines, American films also need to take example of your films, because your films are always very diverse. Mm-hmm. I love the opening shot where all the nations are meeting, then the aliens are meeting. Rihanna talks about immigration. So in a very, entertaining way. Why is it important for you to show that aspect, especially in Fifth Element, you did the same thing?
I think every time I try to get too serious, I have to crack a joke. And I think the films are like this. I can't just make a film like a cheeseburger and nothing left. I'm not interested. I need some weight. I need to talk about people who get wiped out at the beginning of the film. They lost their... No one is responsible. It's just a mistake. But who's going to pay? And the society doesn't want to pay. That's what we have today. And these people, they say, we can forgive, but how can we forget? And 6 million people died, and then we have no planet. What are you going to do about it? And no one wants to watch it. If I do that seriously, it's going to be very depressing, and no one will go to see the film. So I love to talk about all these things, and talk about ecology, and talk about immigration, and all this, with a little smile, and having fun in the same time. Because I think at the end of the day, you watch the film and you say, oh my God, we have fun, it was incredible, but something left somewhere, and especially for the kids. I'm going to tell you a story. I did a film a long time ago called Arthur and the Minimoys. It was for the kids. It was an animated film. And it was basically talking a lot about ecology. And then a friend of mine called me and said, oh, thank you so much. Now my kids refuse to walk on the grass, and they are on the wall around the property because they don't want to walk on that. And I said, yes. Because the kids are like sponges, and so all the subject we have in the film, even if it's not the main thing, the kids who are going to watch the film, they're going to think about Rihanna being, an immigrant, not being able to be, almost like being a slave in a way. So, I love that. I love to talk to the kids like this. Because if you talk to them straight and say, immigration, it doesn't work. But maybe this way we elevate a little bit the consciousness of the young. So that's what I love to do it this way.
Yes, sir.
Morning. Dave, in Wallace, no, we saw you trying to escape these slimy, creepy, snake-like creatures. And here you got all sorts of crazy creatures chasing. You just can't seem to get away from them.
Sorry, what's the question?
is this a theme from here on out? Or are we going to just see you in these types of movies?
I mean, look, I don't see many parallels between this movie and Cure for Wellness, to be honest. And that's kind of what I like to do in my career, is all different kinds of things. In my mind, you couldn't find two more different movies. This movie, I've never played kind of an uncomplicated hero. That was extremely fun for me. It kind of brought the joy of the work back. It made me remember why I do this, to have a good time and to have fun. And I don't always have to be torturing myself. Although, there's a time and place for that, but it's nice to take a break, and it's nice to be a part of something that is artistic but is also fun and there to entertain and there for everybody, and there you can bring your kids or you can have a couple beers and go and see it, and it's just kind of there to sit back and enjoy, you know. And I mean, that's what's exciting about this movie for me, because it is a departure from things that I've done in the past.
Yes, sir.
So one of the scenes that really stood out in this movie, I mean, there's so many of them, but the one that stood out to me the most, well, there's two of them. The first one is the Rihanna scene, but the one that I'm actually questioning is the market scene. I felt there were so many layers to this, and just so hard for you, Dane, to kind of, you know, monitor this scene. How many days did it take to shoot that scene, and ultimately, how difficult was it for both you as actors to kind of adapt to that different type of world?
Who wants to start?
I think it took 2 months, right?
Yes, 7 weeks, yeah.
7 weeks, yeah. Luke made pre-vises for everything in a way that I've actually never seen anyone do, where he basically took local Parisian actors and shot the entire...
The students
from
the school.
From the school. He shot the sequence shot by shot with them acting it out, and with like not like barely any special effects, just to kind of explain to us how the sequence was going to work. Because until I saw it, he could explain it to me over and over and over again, and I still didn't fully understand. It's like, okay, so you put on the thing, and then you're there, and you're not there, and this and that. And it was just, it was such a complicated sequence to explain, but then once you saw it, it was brought to life. And so I really relied on those previses that he made for that sequence.
And also once you kind of took, because the visual effects are so incredibly mouth-wateringly overwhelming, kind of when you strip those back, it's a lot more simple to understand when you had them kind of just using, I mean, using the boxes or using the things that they used. When you actually narrow it down, it's kind of the visual effects that kind of just make you detach, and you're like, wait, where, who's in what part again? You know, it's that that kind of makes you escape, which is why they're so incredible, I think.
In fact, I made a meeting with all the people from Special Effect and the entire team to explain Big Market. Mm. And the explanation took 2 hours. And at the end of 2 hours, I've seen, it was like almost 150 people, like this. Mm-hmm. And I can see that no one understands. None. So that's where I decide to take all the students from the school. It's a cinema school. And there are 60 students. We put the 600 shots, the storyboards on the wall. We rent the studio for 3 weeks, and we shot every shot. There's three visions in the film. The desert vision, us tourists, we watch, that's the desert vision. The helmet vision, what you see through the helmet. And then you have the merchant vision, which is you are an alien in the other dimension looking at us. And then when we finished the editing, the first one was slightly yellow, the second one slightly blue, the third one slightly red. So when you watch the previs, it's yellow, blue, red, red, yellow, blue, yellow, red, blue. So you know exactly which vision. So it helps finally... 2 months later, everyone say, "Ah, okay, I understand."
Well, not everyone.
Yeah, because then you have Americans, French, Japanese, Chinese. Lots of different people.
We have time for one final question.
So anything fun that happened behind the scenes that you guys can share? Anything that you guys learned from each other from filming the film?
Ooh, where to start? 6 months. Let's go back. I'll start with what I learned. I mean, I can't even begin to start actually from what I learned. I think, again, me and Dane working together, I thought it was always very interesting why Luke picked us both. I think it's funny because over the 6 months, we definitely have a very different approach to the kind of the way. I mean, Dane is an incredible actor, went, of course, like, went to drama school. But his approach, I've never learned kind of more on a film watching him work, his dedication and his kind of work ethic. It really inspired me so much, and obviously sitting on set, we got to talk so much about kind of how we do things. And I think for me, I kind of reminded Dane how to kind of laugh and to keep it fun and light. And also because we were so lucky on set, we got to, you know, have 5-day weeks. We didn't get to do night shoots, so we got to have a lot of spare time. We kind of got to explore the movie, the characters, but also Paris as well, which was so nice. I'm trying to think of one funny moment. I think maybe when we fell out the trash chute, kind of picking out, I mean, you get to see in the movie like the kind of various little different things, but the amount of odd stuff that was put in that trash chute, like different slimy parts or like random things, just kind of getting to dive into that. I mean, honestly, the detail of the sets that were made was so incredible. I never wanted to leave. Like, just discovering all the kind of different moments was really special.
It was one of the sets who was not blue, also.
That's true.
That was also true. Yeah, that was very...
Me, it's not so much the most funny moment, but the most exciting moment that I was waiting for. It's a scene without a special effect. And it's the scene where they both like this. And then she has, you know, she talk about love and she has to come on tears. And you say, you know, I don't ask you to die for me. I ask you to trust me. It's this scene. And I was waiting for this scene for like almost 15 weeks. Because, you know, I love this kind of like, you know, it's the juice. It's the juice for a director. You mean no special effect. You're like this. And it's the two actors. You throw everyone out of the set. And my thing is like, when we gonna make it? If you make it too soon, they're not ready, not comfortable. And then you always reach the moment where they're ready. They can do it. And when you when they are ready, just wait a little more. Just wait one more week. Because now they're dying to make it. They want to do it. And then you play with that a little bit. A little bit. Just like you're scared about the scene first. Then you want to do it. And now you're dying to do it. And I almost did it at the end. I play a lot with that. And the day of the scene was just magical for me. It's the first time we have the feeling just to be the three of us and no one else exists, and we were like in our little world, and it's for me my best souvenir. It's this scene.
I feel like I learned a lot from Luke and from Kara making this movie, and a lot of it kind of just goes back to what I said before about, you know, going back to why we do this. And I watched Luke every day on set, having the time of his life, making the film he's wanted to make his entire life. And he would give me the biggest hug every day I stepped on the set. You know, and I have this tendency to just take myself too seriously all the time. And Kara doesn't have that problem in like the most beautiful in the most beautiful way, where she just like is always, she loves life and she knows how to live it and she is living her dream and she's doing all these things that she wants to do and she's just always running on like high octane in like this incredible way. And I remember Luke pointing out to me about halfway through, he was like, you know, every day when Kara shows up on set, I can tell she walks in the door before I even see her because she puts this huge smile on your face. And I was just so happy to see her every day and be around her every day and to kind of feed off of that energy of Luke and Kara having the time of their life. And I think that's why I was also able to have the time of their life, because I got to work with both of them.
It makes me want to cry. Can we hug now? Guys.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. Well, so you think we're going to go 10 on. That concludes our press conference story. Thank you all so much for coming, and thank you so much to Dane, Luke, and
Tara.
Great.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking me back. Yeah.
Who did this fabulously futuristic kind of thing?